The Bailey & Harding Ultrasound System is proudly sponsored by Innovate, the UK's best-loved trail shoe and apparel company. This month, we're giving you guys a chance to win a pair of brand new Innovate Trailfly trail running shoes. The Trailfly's 4mm rubber studs are perfect for gripping rock and hard-packed dry ground, and the graphene grip rubber outsole has also been improved from previous models to give better traction in wet conditions. These are my go-to day-to-day shoe, and I absolutely love them. To win a pair, simply head to our Instagram page, at Ultrasound System Pod. Click the link to enter in our link tree and wait for that lovely email from Innovate telling you you're a winner. If you can't wait that long, you can get a big old 15% discount on any full price kit you purchase from the website with the code BHUSS15. That's BHUSS15. Innovate in a great more like. On with the pod.
Hello and welcome to the Bailey and Harding Ultrasound System. I am Anna Harding.
I'm Ali Bailey. This is episode 51. Trail marathons are more fun.
More 51. Fun.
Trail marathons are more fun. We had a second go at that second pass.
We did. They are more fun. More fun than road marathons. In fact, it's been a year, no, 2 years, since I did the Isle of Mull marathon, which was a trail marathon.
I thought you guys said it was a road marathon. I was like, what's it? No. That was good, wasn't it? The Isle of Mull. I remember the imagery coming out of that, and I very much enjoyed it.
Beautiful. We spent the day before, like, chopping down rhododendrons because they're an invasive species and should not be there, and planting trees and hedgerows, which I am so excited to go back and actually, like, go and look at in like 10 years' time and be like, planted that.
What an absolutely delightfully wholesome way to do a marathon.
I know. Oh, and if anybody is interested in that sort of side of things, not an ad or anything, but it was through Impact Marathon. You do really good things. Nick Kershaw, not the singer, is the...
Would it be good to be in your shoes? That's a good song.
It is.
I'm going to whack it on.
Quite nice for a nighttime run. Nick Kershaw is the owner, CEO, race director of them.
Are you sure it's not the same Nick Kershaw? Because it could be.
I asked him on my very first call with him.
So professional.
Is that Nick Kershaw?
I would have just tested him. I would have just been like, wouldn't it be good? And then I would have been like, wouldn't it be good? And then I would have been like, wouldn't it be good to run in your shoes? And he would have been like, why do you keep saying that?
He's a lovely guy. He's a big backer of She Races as well. So big up Nick Kershaw.
Big up Nick Kershaw.
Not that one.
And anyway, that one too, because that was a tune and he had a really good haircut. Flock of Seagulls. He was introduced to Flock of Seagulls, didn't he?
Oh my God, Flock of Seagulls is such a good... Oh, can we put that on? Flock of Seagulls, I Ran.
Yeah. Oh, is that a song?
Yeah. It's brilliant. It's on my actual playlist. It's an 80s classic.
I Ran, brackets, So Far
so
Away.
So Far Away. Yeah.
I've just accidentally played it. Cool. But hey. I added it, so that's okay.
Anyway,
fabulous. Okay, Impact Marathons. Well done, everybody. Impact Marathons, if you want to send me and Anna on a jaunt, you're more than welcome.
Oh, yeah, they do some really cool ones.
You can send us somewhere hot where Anna can just sit there and have a nice time with her baby and I can run around. It'll be great. Both sides of the story.
Guatemala is where they tend to do an awful lot. That's where they sort of started.
Oh, lovely stuff. I'm actually going to look that up after this. I need to go and do something that's good for my soul because my soul feels black and cold and dark. Just normal then. But, you know, more black and cold and dark than usual.
I'm sure we'll come on to that.
How's your week been? And what's your wins of this week?
My week's been all right. I'm still plodding along, literally plodding. I went shopping with my mum at the weekend and I said to her, am I waddling? And she was like, no. And then I caught myself in the mirror in the shop, like walking past. I was like, I am waddling now.
Question. Another one. I'd love to put these all together into an Ali is stupid montage. Did you do biology at school? Do your feet swell?
Oh, they can do. Mine haven't currently. It's to do with fluid retention. It's to do with the fact that there's an awful lot of blood volume going around your body. And... it can be a little bit concerning if they do swell badly because it can be a sign of preeclampsia, which is pretty bad. And the only way to fix preeclampsia is to get the bibbit out. So it's to do with high blood pressure as well. So I actually was in hospital having that checked out last week.
How was baby hypno? Baby hypno.
No. That's really funny. That's my win. So I did baby hypnobirthing last night. It was,
Hypno.
not like that. It's not like that. It's very more chill. It's it's an interesting one. I spent an hour on the Zoom call listening to the lady, and she basically just explained what happens when you go into labor, which actually is like very useful to know. Like, I'm finding it quite empowering knowing what's going to happen to my body. Not exactly what's going to happen, because that's like the fear of the unknown, and that's part of like giving birth. But actually, like, being told exactly what's going on. So, like, your uterus muscles do this. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense now. Now I understand why my body might feel like that. So yeah, hypnobirthing is my win last night, because I this week, because I feel like I'm gonna just have a bit more control over what's going on in a completely out of control scenario.
Why is it called hypnobirthing?
That's a great question. It's got nothing to do with hypnotherapy.
It should be called
It's all to do with the
technobirthing.
mind. Technobirthing. It is all to do with the mind, and it's really interesting. I even like, so Neil was on, like, sat in on the call with me as well to get his head around it. And I looked at him. I can't remember what she said. I was going to write it down. She said something, and I just looked at Neil. And I went, it's just like running then, isn't it? And it is like, there's a lot of visualization. There's a lot of just like mind over matter stuff. Your body is meant to do this. And so she was talking about the fear, tension, pain cycle, which is basically what you go through when you're like running an ultra, when your brain is like, we shouldn't be here. This is painful. I don't like it. Let's go somewhere safe. And then you get tense, and then it makes it even worse. And then you feel pain. So, yeah.
It's not the same, but I was in a tattooist chair all day yesterday and it was the same, but it wasn't the same. It was under there, it's under the arms, right in the little nice
Oh,
bit there.
on
Lovely.
your little chicken wings.
And on my elbow, on my bingo wings, and on my elbow. And I was like, that's a painful. And then I was like, nah, it's fine, it's all good. And it's that like breathing into your
Yeah.
like lower body and just completely relaxing. Because you're like, if I tense up, this is just going to be much, much worse than it would
Yeah.
otherwise be.
Yeah,
Everything.
exactly. Exactly.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad you had a lovely time. My win is just great people. Like great people. I spent a week last
Oh.
week in Banau Brecheiniog. I went up to the Pegasus workshop weekend and met loads of people doing the Epona. Was it
Eggnog.
Epona? Was
Is
it
it the
the
eggnog? Oh.
No, it was Epona. It was the Epona. Oh my
What's the
God.
other one? What's the one you're
The
doing?
Edam. The Edam. That's what I'm
Edam,
the
not
race director
eggnog.
at the Edam, not the eggnog. Someone's calling it Damien. We'll get onto him in a minute. It's calling it the
Uh-oh.
Edam. It's not called the Edam. And if it was, he wouldn't be able to do it anyway because he's a vegan. I don't think he'd know.
Vegan.
Ugh. We'd have to call it the fucking, what's it called? Gary. That's what they call vegan cheese, isn't it? Anyway, I went and met all these people doing the Epona. Oh my God, we had so much fun. Except we didn't. It was like raining and cold. But there were loads of people at this. The Epona 100 is a 100-mile race that they're doing in June. There were lots of people doing the Epona, but also people that are just interested in hundreds. And this, oh my God, runners are so nice and they're so inspiring to be around and just kind. And then I spent the rest of the week in an Airbnb in this place called Cwm Dai, which is like right in the middle of the Beacons. And
Oh,
where I was last week, talking to you lot from the blog.
yeah.
And then we went and my friend Kirsty came, and we just ran. We just had a week off, and we ran with the dogs. And we went and recce part of the Edam route, which is on in the Senni Bridge training area.
Oh yeah, you were literally off to go and run in the danger zone. Highway
Highway to the
the
danger
danger
zone.
zone. Last
If
time we
you
spoke.
get an OS map out and you look at Senni Bridge, it's red and it's coloured in red, and it says danger zone. Yeah, sure. So we were in the danger zone. It was horrendous weather. Absolutely horrendous. Really hilly, really muddy. There were so many dead sheep. I've never seen that many dead sheep. And I couldn't work out whether they were dead because it was bleak up there or dead because they've been blown up by the army.
Oh my
But can
God.
you be right? Lots of toilets. There's toilets everywhere. So the army
Oh.
don't shit in the woods because obviously the enemy would find it. Toilets. I thought, what great toilet provision the army have got up here. It was fucking weird though. Just really
Yeah.
weird place to run. Loads of bits of shrapnel and bits of old bombs and weird parachutes on the floor. Don't pick them up. It says Purgle, which is Welsh for danger. If you pick this stuff up, it could explode and kill you. It literally says that on the sign.
Wow.
Did that,
Wow.
which is nice. And
What, picked
then
it up?
No, I picked up a couple of parachutes that have fallen down, like big parachutes that have like flares on the bottom, but the flares are gone. But the
Yeah.
parachutes were in the field, and I was just like, the sheep are going to eat these. This is why the sheep are all dead, because they're eating fucking parachutes.
No.
And glow sticks, or loads of glow sticks everywhere. So I was picking them up. And then when I got home, I was like, I really hope these weren't out for tonight.
Oh no. You're like that. You're like those people that move flags and arrows for ultras because you're like, oh no, let's get rid of this. Look at this rubbish. Let's get rid of
Yeah,
it.
it looked
And
like
then
they've been
everybody
used.
goes the wrong way.
They
Oh
look like they've been
no.
used. Anyway, this race, the Edam, is really cool. It goes all the way around the outside on the Ghent Way. It's 8,000 foot of vert. It's pretty punchy. It's in August. I'm race director,
Jesus. Whoop whoop.
and it's going to be great. And I think my bog trotting friend is going to be coming along to have a go. I mean, when I say have a go, I mean ruin it for everybody just by winning, because he wants to
Oh.
use it to train for the Tour de Gironde.
No, hang on. No, that no, you're not allowed to, Damien.
Well, I said if he does, he has to do it overnight the other way. So by the time he, like the backwards marathons, by the time we get there, he's already done 50 miles.
Yeah, fine. Yeah,
He's
do
not allowed
that.
to eat anything either.
Is
No
it
food.
two laps?
No, it's one lap. But he'll
Oh.
do, if he starts at midnight, he could do the lap backwards. And then
Yeah.
when we get there in the morning, he could do the lap forwards with everybody else.
So he'd do 200 miles.
It's a 50 miler, so it'd be 100 miles.
Oh, it's a 50
Yeah, it's only a
miler.
50. It's only a
You
50.
are. I
Oh,
was
it's only a
getting
50.
mixed
Don't you
in a
worry about that.
twist with the Epona
That's 100. That's
100.
in June.
Yeah.
That's not mine. That's
Like,
someone else's.
yeah.
But anyway,
Yeah.
it was a really good day. It was really horrendous. But it was one of those days where you were like, I love running. Otherwise, I wouldn't be out
Yeah.
here, because it is a wet pants situation.
Yeah.
And then on Friday, I went out with, or loads of stuff happened on Thursday, which we'll talk about in a minute, which really upset me. And I had the joy of actually communicating with other people within the community. And I was like, people are kind, man, aren't they? Runners are kind. Oh, but all in all, it was a week where I was like, I'm really grateful that running has brought all these wonderful people into my life. Even
Lovely.
though that man tried to poison my dog before kicking her in front of me and Kirsty. He tried to poison my dog by giving her Biscoff biscuits.
We're talking about Damien Hall here. Okay,
He
and that
said, I've got a
happened?
treat for you. You've got a treat. I've got a treat for your dog. And I was like, what is it? And he was like, it's a treat. And then I turned around and he was feeding her Biscoff cream biscuits.
Oh my God,
And
I would have literally
he had this look on his face, like it
flipped.
was like he was like, like it was normal. It wasn't normal. And she wasn't that keen on them, to be honest with you.
Just
But
like her
she,
mummy.
yeah, just like mummy, but she did eat them. And then
You
later
should have
on,
made him pick up her shit afterwards.
yeah, well, and then later on, we witnessed him kicking her. He says that she walked into his foot, but I think he kicked her. And then we all had a good day. It was great. But to be fair, but in all honesty, we had a nice day out, and I was very, very slow on that terrain. Like, it was, again, a terrible day on the Carmarthen fans. Windy, raining, awful. We didn't go up the top because it was too, because I called it. It was like, it's too windy and shit up there.
Yeah.
But being able to run with someone like that and then be patient with you and be like, and not treat you like a charity case is actually really nice. And I didn't feel like I was being a weight around his ankles at any point, which was nice, even though I was.
Yeah.
So that's my win.
Nice. I love it. That sounds like a very wholesome way to spend a week.
It was so wholesome.
Beautiful. Grims. I got no grim.
What about that massive bed that's still leaning against the wall behind you?
I was going to try and not talk about the IKEA
Oh, I'm
box
sorry.
over my shoulder
I'm going to buy you a
this
task rabbit.
episode.
Send him round your
Look,
house.
we've had a lovely bank holiday weekend. I overdid it on Saturday by deep cleaning the entire of downstairs. Neil was playing cricket. Then on Sunday, I thought we'll have another good day of jobs. We did. Oh, he did do some jobs on Sunday. Can't remember what they were. And then on Monday, I was like, right, build the bed. No, build the bed did not happen. So no, okay, fine. It is grim that IKEA box is still there over my shoulder. I don't want to
It'll
talk
be
about
gone.
it. I
It'll
don't
be
want to talk
gone
about it.
one day.
I don't want to
It'll
talk about
be
it.
gone one day.
Look, we don't need it for the baby. It's fine. And I'm sure we'll have plenty of time when we've got a newborn to do
Well, if
fucking
someone wants to come in your
furniture.
house and use your fucking spare bedroom, say to them, that's cool, but you need to go and
Yeah.
make your own bed. And they'll be like, okay, where's the duvets and pillows? You're like, no, you need to go and make your own bed.
It. The
That's what you need to
mattress
do.
for it is in the loft, literally still rolled up in its plastic. So
Yeah, go
there
and
you
make
go.
that. You go make that bed.
You go make that bed.
Okay, so let's talk about the elephant with the broom. The elephant with the broom. Where last Thursday, I'm going to talk to you about dynamic pricing. Do you know what dynamic pricing is, Anna?
I do. It's another word for surge pricing.
It is.
The type that you get with, like, on New Year's Eve when you order yourself an Uber and they charge you three times the amount of a normal Uber because they're busy.
Yeah, because everybody wants your Uber, right?
Yep.
So surge pricing is a, or dynamic pricing, as a lot of people call it. Dynamic means you can basically do it whenever you want, minute by minute, whereas surge means there has to be a surge on that one product, aka the Uber, right? So there'll be one product and everybody wants that one thing at the same time.
Yeah.
Dynamic basically means you can change your charges by the minute. Okay, so if you look at the dictionary definition of it, it's a practice of varying prices for a product or service to reflect changing market conditions, in particular the charging of a higher price at the time of a greater demand. So
Like peak and off peak, like
yeah,
trains,
so I'll tell you who does this. Train companies, flights do
hotels,
it, hotels do it, but usually they do it based,
Ticketmaster. Bruce
yeah.
Springsteen did it for his tour last year.
Do you know why Ticketmaster do it? Because it bridges the gap between the touts and the cost of the tickets. There is actually a reason for the consumer why they do it. But the
That
thing
works.
about all of these places is they make it very clear that that is what they're doing. We know what they're doing. So you know that booking a flight to Ibiza in July is going to cost you more than booking a flight to Ibiza in December, right? You know that as a fact because the demand in July is higher because it's hotter, but it's different. So UTMB have employed this dynamic pricing system for a number of their races in the past. And on Thursday, the last week, the Arc of Attrition entries went on sale. They recently acquired the Arc of Attrition. Now, we knew that that it was going to go on sale. We knew that for the first 2 days, you had to have a UTMB index, which means you had to run another race that they deemed almost a
Qualifier.
qualifier. Yeah, so you have to have a UTMB login and you have to be, and your race goes in. It doesn't have to be a UTMB race. For some World Series races, it does. For this one, it didn't. Okay. But for the first couple of days, it was UTMB index holders only. Fair enough. They told us that. What they didn't tell anybody was that they were going to use dynamic pricing. So at no point did they say, this is how much the race is going to cost. They didn't say that until you clicked at 10 a.m. on the button and it said £209. For the 100. I'm talking about 100. There's 100, there's a 50, and there is a
25.
25, right? Now, at 10:10 a.m., the website crashed because of demand, they say. But the problem is UTMB is a massive, obviously multinational company. It's the gold standard for racing. So you would expect that their servers could handle a little bit of traffic because it's the Arc of Attrition, it's not the UTMB. When the website came back up again, the price had gone up to £225 on the same day. And people were like, what the heckington is this? Then the price went up again to £245. And then the next day, the price went up again to £259, right, for the same race. So I was like, what the hell is going on? And everybody was like, what the hell is going on? And nobody was getting any answers from anyone. And basically, in the times of Facebook, people are going to go on Facebook and they're going to complain. They're going to be like, what's going on? I've paid this, you've paid that, we've paid this, we've paid that. It was all very confusing. And there wasn't much coming back from UTMB or from the race directors at all. But people managed to work out it was this surge pricing model. The problem is, my get in the bin and my grim is that we as punters were not told this was going to happen. We were not prepared for it happening, and we were not told when it was going to go up. So it's basically getting people to pay the most amount of money they possibly will without telling them that's what's going to happen. Now, on top of this, the advertised price is the advertised price, but then there is added extras. Insurance. So offered insurance, 10% of your price.
Do you have to take that?
Nope, you don't have to take it. But it's to cover you if you're injured or if you wind a fur or whatever. Now, good luck claiming on that because we all know it's really difficult. But insurance is 10% of the cost of the race. So if the race is currently at 225, the insurance will be £25, right? If the race goes up to 249, it's going to be more. And if the race goes up to 259, it's going to be more.
So you're
So who
probably better
knows?
off getting your own insurance.
You are. Good luck with that as well because insurers don't insure running anymore. So, and then you can add on Southwest Coast Path Association donation to maintain the Southwest Coast Path, which I
Nice.
think should be included in the price anyway because they're running on it. Air ambulance.
Well, yeah, but there are some people who can't afford bits and bobs. So,
But wait for it. Air ambulance.
yeah.
I wonder why we want to donate to the air ambulance. And then, so they got you got your insurance, you got your South West Coast Path Association, you got your air ambulance, then you've got the service fee.
Oh,
Now the
yeah.
service fee is 8%, and that's to pay for the platform that they use for their race entries. So some people use SEI entries, some people use Race Director, they use one called, I think it's Noxio, Nixio, something weird. I'd like to think that the World Authority for trail running could have their own platform that we didn't have to pay 8% for, but never mind. Now that 8% is 8% of your total in your basket, not 8% of your race. So if you've bought insurance and you've got the two donations and you add that to the 249 or whatever you paid,
Yeah.
you've got 249, 259, 269, you've got nearly 300 quid and it's 8% of that 300 quid. So for your charity donations, it's charging you a service fee. I don't think that's right. I just don't think that's right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I personally don't know how that donation then is sent, obviously, and worked out. But there's obviously there's someone's got to sort that out. So there's obviously some sort of admin involved in getting the money to the charities, playing devil's advocate. You know, there are costs for everything for everyone these days, but
I still don't think that you should be charging a service fee on a donation, to be quite frank. We all know that donations are tax deductible. So, this is my get in the bin. I have been furious about it, and I'm furious about it for many, many reasons. But I think one of the reasons is the fact that a lot of people are saying it's early bird pricing. Not a lot, some people say it's not early bird pricing.
It's not, sadly, it's really not, because that's very, very, very obvious. There is an end date of you need to do it by this date, and on this date, the prices go up. Most race companies have early birds. Manchester Marathon did their early bird in advance of the London Marathon ballot so that they could get people signed up, because you'll talk to Paul Albon, ding, 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 ding,
Ding, ding, ding,
race
ding.
director, and it'll be good to get a race director's perspective on things like this. But, you know, having done an interview with the Brighton Marathon race director during COVID and like how shit that was, they've got costs that they have to pay a year in advance. They've got to pay for their security, the road closures, the like from the council, all the rest of that in advance. So they take all your money as early birders and use that to pay their bills. So that's why they do that. And that's early bird, but this is not that.
No, an early bird usually has a benefit. So the early bird usually has a benefit to the entrant. Okay,
Yeah.
so in theory, like it will be there's an incentive to enter earlier, right? Cheaper, but they didn't. But there wasn't because they didn't communicate that. They didn't say anything about early bird or anything about any costing. So, you know, that would be great if you were an events company that you need to guarantee a level of entries before you press the button on hiring stuff. But this is
Yes.
UTMB Ironman. It's not Paul Albert. It's not a small race company. It's
No.
the world leading gold standard race company, right?
Yeah.
All incentives only work if you actually communicate them. They didn't communicate this one. And it's been communicated on other races. UTS, go on the UTS website and it says how many the tickets are between this price and this price for the first 25%, then this price, this price, this price. It's not on the arc. This is the big problem.
Yeah.
So it's not been transparent and it's a massive error of judgment because everyone's going to go on Facebook and start talking about it. And at the end of the day, the only reason they've done dynamic pricing is to exploit demand. That's the only reason they've done it. So people start to panic and they start to go in and they buy and they buy and they buy. The Arc of Attrition doesn't need this. It sells out every year. It sells out
Yeah.
without fail every year. And it has, and the problem is it's basically becoming like the Amazon of running. With Amazon, you don't choose what you pay. They tell you what you pay and you pay it. And
Yeah.
it goes up, it goes down. I know my book's on Amazon. Some days my book is £5 more expensive than it is on other days. But the problem with this surge price with UTMB, it never goes down. It just goes up. And
That's an issue.
it is, if they're talking about growth of the sport, they need to bring people in from the bottom. They need local people. They need people who, you know, this is their first go. People that, and this is the 50, the 25, and the 100. People without an index cannot do these races. And I understand the hundreds hard, but the 25 and the 50 were the same. It's breaking my heart that this is becoming something that's happening. and it's not being communicated really, really clearly. And I just feel like a wave of like, this is how it's going to be now, is taking over the whole of the industry. Maybe not a wave, maybe it's like a little bit more of a slow tidal shift, but it frightens me and it upsets me and it can get in the bin.
I have a couple of questions.
Go for it.
How much was the arc last year? Like before?
100.
Yeah.
I believe it was about £209, but that was everything included. So no insurance, no donations, no service charge. That was
but
it.
You got all of that as that £209.
I think so, but I haven't paid for an ARC entry because I was a Centurion runner and we used to get a place with them. So I haven't paid for one for a couple of years. But the last time I paid it was 189, I think. That was 2 years ago.
I just wondered how, like, whether they'd the smallest amount, whether they'd like massively inflated the price.
No, and the thing is,
I
went through all of the possible prices because I had people messaging me saying, at this time I bought this ticket. So one of my friends bought a ticket at 10:32 and his ticket was £209. He then logged out and logged in for somebody else because he had to log in to get their UTMB index. And the price had gone up to £249 in minutes. And he was like, I don't understand this. And was like trying to like go back to it. And he's like, well, I added stuff. He hadn't added anything. Yeah. Like, he was like, I don't get it. It's just made me feel like an absolute mug. But the problem is people want to do this race, or they've got beef with this race, or they've tried to do this race before and they failed. So they're going back.
So
that's the problem
back.
With it. Yeah. So I get it. And this is not a judgment call. But what I'm saying is, this is not a practice I think that should be allowed to be the norm.
No.
And the other thing is, the previous race directors, they prided themselves on affordable racing. And I don't think paying £149 for a 25 miler, £5 a mile is affordable, which is what it is now. And it's just, I'd love to sit down and have a chat to them about it. I'd love to sit down, but it seems very confused. The messaging on Facebook, the messaging out here. We've asked UTMB for a statement, haven't we?
Yeah, we've asked them. And as soon as we get one back, obviously, we haven't had a lot of time with the bank holiday weekend. We're recording this on Tuesday after the bank holiday, first thing. So we've not had it back yet, but obviously we'll let you know what they say. But I think there's two strings to this as well from what you're saying, is that first of all, dynamic pricing as a whole in ultra running and stuff, you want to put in the bin.
I think everybody, the thing about ultra running is it's a leveler. You know, when you stand at the start of a race and there's people from all walks of life, there are people, of course, there are people that are underrepresented, groups that are underrepresented. This is not going to help with groups that are underrepresented. I'd love to know what Into Ultra think about this. And I haven't got to the point of talking to Basil or Damo properly about it. I mean, I've talked to Damo about it, but, this is not accessible. There are 24 different prices you can pay for the same race.
And they did this as well on UTS.
They did this on UTS. But before they did, when they did it on UTS, it was made very clear at the start that it was going to increase. So people had the opportunity.
That's the other thing that I wonder as well, because we were sat here chatting last week and, we were talking about the fact that the ARC had been, or maybe the week before, about the ARC had been taken over by UTMB. And I wonder if actually all these deals have been done a bit too close to the wire of them getting the entries released. And look, again, playing devil's advocate here, but like, have they actually got all their ducks in a row and sorted out their comms and their website to be clear? No. Is the answer, because
they shouldn't
nobody
have launched
knew.
The tickets then.
Yeah, I know. And that's what I'm saying, is like, maybe they weren't ready for it and that's, they've dropped the ball. But we can maybe this, maybe that. Let's just wait and hear what they've got to say. Because it does, it is worrying that like this dynamic pricing stuff is creeping its way into all aspects of our lives now. Like, it's ridiculous. You were saying about, you book a flight to Ibiza in July and it's expensive and you book one in December and it's not. We just take that as like, that's okay. That's fine.
And what's really interesting is in my little, everybody can, because I asked on Instagram, can you tell me what time you booked your ticket? How much it cost, what you paid for, all that stuff. People are almost apologetic for doing it. And I'm like, you don't need to be apologetic to me. I'm not judging anyone. If you want to do these races, great. If you want to collect the stones, great. If you want to do UTMB and that's your jam, great. I'm just asking you, because it is the biggest company, because it's going to be the go-to. Because if you Google ultra running, UTMB comes up at the top. So for feeding the feed of new runners, for bringing people into the sport, people are going to think this is their only option. It's like Tesco's, you know? Oh, I'm not going to go to the corner shop. I'll go to Tesco's because Tesco's is down the road. It is Tesco's. It is Amazon. Amazon change their prices hourly. Are we going to get to the point where race companies are? And the other thing is, it's going to force the smaller race companies out of the market.
Or to do the same because they feel like they have to. You know, did you see last year there was a pub chain that announced that they were doing dynamic pricing? So literally,
was it Spoons?
It's no, it wasn't Spoons. Can't remember who it was. I think were they called Stonebridge? Not sure. But basically, it was like the headlines were hilarious because it was like unhappy hour because it's basically the opposite of a happy hour. So it's like as soon as they get busy, price of a pint. You could go in after work. Say you finish early, go in at 4 o'clock, get a pint, fiver, and you stay there for a couple. The next two cost you 6, 7, 8 quid. Because it's getting busier, and so they put their prices up. But they announced that they were doing it, but many others already were. They just didn't tell you.
I just think there's such a lack of transparency, isn't there?
Yeah.
But we just put up with this shit, and it's we shouldn't put up with this shit. And my at the very core of this, and I'll stop talking about it because I know it's boring. Well, it's not boring. It is boring. It's just depressing.
Mm-hmm.
At the very core of ultra running, and for me, trail running is love, respect, honesty. It's a leveler. It brings people together. It allows people to heal from their like addictions and problems. It allows people a space for them to be them absolutely themselves. It is not a place where we should be like, where it should be divisive. How much did you pay? Oh, you only paid this. Well, I paid this. Well, I paid this. Well, I paid this. And it is not, you shouldn't be panicking people into panic buying races that are 100 miles and take loads of training.
Yeah.
So you'll panic buy. And the thing with this race is you can't transfer these places. There is no waiting list. So people panic buying these races are taking places off people who might otherwise be fully trained and ready to rock. It doesn't work like holidays work. Like it is not that type of thing. It is, and then if they're going to do it, then make it really fucking clear. It's simple as that. Let's see what they say. But that is my grim, and that is my bin, and all of it is getting the fucking bin. The end. Love to hear your feedback, guys.
Just one quick one to put in the bin.
Oh, good, you've got some bin as well. The bin's quite full. Should I just go and empty it so that you've got a clear bin to stop in?
Let's just shove this one in. You know when you shove it in and you get a little bit of bin juice on your hand and you rip the bag?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, should have just emptied it and then just put it in. 100%. Well, I'm just going to put this one in on the top.
Okay.
And then we'll like get the bin juice on our hand, rip the bag and take it out. Okay. It's actually come from friend of the pod, James Thorpe, in our Facebook group. I stole it. Now, guys, we don't use the Bailey and Harding Ultrasound System social group on Facebook for content, but I did see it and I was like, this is...
Until we run out of content.
No, it's interesting. It's tricky for me at the moment because I'm not running very much. So I don't have very many stories to regale you with. Okay, so according to James, here's an article that can get in the bin. The title is, I was a running addict. Sorry, Ike. But pushing myself to the limit led to two knee replacements. So, this is an article in The Guardian.
In The Guardian?
Yeah. James thinks that this should be retitled, Runner Who Trained Too Hard for Years Injures Themselves Repeatedly. So basically...
Should we get James just to rewrite all of the clickbaity things that we find on the internet? In like 5 words. James's headlines, we'll call it.
I love it. I love it. So basically, it's written by a journalist called Rod Gilchrist or Gilchrist. And he's basically bemoaning the fact that he used to absolutely hammer it around a track a lot and run like way too much.
Mm-hmm.
And admits that he was obsessed. Also says that he was addicted to running. And so basically he's been operated on for an Achilles heel tear, countless hamstring and muscle rips, a damaged hernia caused by weight training, a heart valve replacement, and two knee replacements. And basically is saying that he's blaming the fitness media, specifically Joe Wicks and his ilk.
Don't you ever ever blame Joe Wicks for anything.
Poor little darling.
I love Joe Wicks.
I love Joe Wicks. Yeah, he blames Joe Wicks and his ilk with their fashionable shorts and bulging quads, who promise that we can all become leaner, sexier, and more athletic versions of ourselves if we do park fun runs. So
Not
basically,
quite
he's
sure that's what Joe Wicks was saying. I think something's been
no,
lost in translation there, but sure.
no. So yeah, he's basically talking about these knee replacements that he's had, and yeah, he says that he finishes with. Another thing that I've come to know, and pardon the pun, is that in the long run, running really can be bad for your health. I'm sorry, okay, Rod. I appreciate you writing an article. What I don't appreciate is you scaremongering and telling the like a big chunk of the population who probably read The Guardian that running is bad for you. Running has been bad for you because you weren't doing it right,
You weren't
basically.
doing it
You weren't doing
right.
it right. And actually, I've mentioned that I didn't really have a grim this week. And I've just remembered, honestly, my baby brain is so bad. I meant to write it down. I should have done. My grim this week is that I'm not sleeping well at all. Like, I haven't had a good night's sleep for over a week now. Like, my body battery is on minus. My sleep scores are in the 30s. My watch is like punking me, being like, oh, you had a really inactive day yesterday, which could have contributed to your bad sleep.
Oh,
No, I
you
just,
dead hun, lol, things like
yeah,
that.
I wasn't wearing my watch because my wrists are so swollen because I'm having carpal tunnel issues. But that's another story. So my grim, and this is something that I bang on about to my clients all the fucking time, is you need to get good sleep. And the grim is when you don't get good sleep, it affects every part of your life.
Yeah.
My blood pressure went up. My resting heart rate is fucked. Like, I need sleep. I am so teary. I'm also very hormonal. But like everything, I just, there's that like inflammatory response to not having sleep because your body needs to repair itself. And what this guy is doing or hasn't been doing is recovering. And so he can get in the bin because it's people like him who trot off all this stuff that's like, oh yeah, if you work really, really hard, then you're gonna like, break yourself. Yeah, you are, but you'd have been all right if you actually recovered properly. So yeah, I'd like to put him in the bin.
Might send her a copy of my book.
You should.
Hey guys, I've read a book, by the way. It's called There Is No Wall. Because this is literally exactly what I'm writing about that book. Running won't save you. Don't expect running to save you. And if you use it for the wrong purposes and expect miracles, like what he's been thrown is curveballs and problems that he needs to overcome. And he can still crack on. I know people that run marathons with one leg and one arm. I know a guy that overtook me in a 100-mile race with one leg and one arm. We
Look
all
at
know
Millie.
people. We
Look
all
at
know
Millie
people that,
Pickles.
yeah, we all know people that have
Yeah.
done incredible things. Running is a great, great thing to have as part of your life, but you like, just like you can't expect it to save you, you can't blame it for everything that goes wrong. I wonder what his
No.
strength and conditioning regime was like, if he's had like hammy injuries and like all this other stuff. Like,
Well,
he's blaming like everything, but what he's not doing is looking at how he can make this work better for him,
I know.
and that
And
just
everyone's
pisses me off.
individual. He's just absolutely just hammered it and then just fucked it. He damaged his hernia caused by weight training. So he was
How does he
obviously
know
saying,
that?
well, that's what his article
Maybe he's got a hernia because he's so fucking miserable and stressed. Has he thought about that? Like,
that.
look inside, like in the words of Heather Small, search for the hero inside yourself, Rob. Don't
Yeah.
expect external things to help you. And if things do go wrong, then fix them, learn, and help other people by saying, this happened to me, and this is how I helped
Yeah.
myself. Surely that's a
Not
better
don't do
article.
it.
Yeah, not
Yeah.
don't do it. We're in a fucking obesity crisis, you stupid knob. You
Know.
clickbait
So
wanker.
yeah, he's going in the
Anyway.
bin. Thanks for bringing that to our attention, James. Much appreciated.
Bin. The bin man's here. He's emptying it. Ah,
Speaking of Heather
bin.
Small, got some playlist chat. Right, now I need to tell you something. You know how
Heather Small is actually tall. She is.
Well, I've got some more facts for you that I'm going to
Ooh,
drop
ooh, ooh.
here.
Big facts, big facts. Go then.
So, you know how we like to learn on this podcast?
We
Guys,
like to learn. We like
we
to
like to
learn.
learn. We like to learn. Guys, I'm going to blow your mind. So, if you are running, get ready to
Should they
pay
stop?
attention. I would. This is this, right. So, on our playlist, we have the Gummy Bears theme. It's a punk rock
Gummy
version.
bears bouncing
Bouncing
here
the
and
and
there.
everywhere. Yeah.
They are, yeah.
The guy who sings the original Gummy Bears theme also sings Adult Simba in the Lion King film.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
No.
And there's more. He is also the son of the composer John Williams, who just like Harry Potter and Star Wars and things.
No.
And he is also the lead singer of Toto off Africa Frame
How do we
fame.
know? No. How do we not know
Yeah,
this?
I know. I saw a reel on Instagram that said all these things. I've not done any due diligence to check that these facts are correct. I've literally just copied and pasted it and told you. Because wow, what? There you
All
go.
makes sense.
Doesn't it?
Do you know what I'd like to hear?
What?
A mashup of Toto and Gummy Bear theme tune.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Let's
Yes.
contact him and ask him if he'll do it.
I've watched rain for gummy bears, bouncing
Doesn't
here and there,
even
and
know
maybe a
his
little bit
name.
of like,
Too
oh, I just can't wait to be a king. A mashup.
Yes.
Paige and Fiona Wallace, Fiona Wallace, Paige and Fiona Wallace. Please, can you make a mashup of what's his name?
I don't know. The guy, John
John
Williams's
Williams'
son.
son's mega mix. A John Williams' son mega mix. I'm going to call him Anton because I feel like that should be his name. That would be amazing. Can you imagine how much money that dude's got? Can you imagine what the walls of his house look like with all his gold discs, different gold discs everywhere? He's an everyman. He's an everyman hero, is what he is.
He's wonderful.
I
He
love
is
him.
wonderful. Hey, last week we were talking about the playlist, and you said about Hannah Rickman's additions
My eyes. My eyes.
from our
Did
Legends
you
episode.
like her additions?
Of course I did. Of
Well, the
course.
other day.
Have you added them to
Yeah,
the
I have
playlist
added
now?
them. I'm not a,
Great.
I'm not a, what's that? What's that? I am a honest and I have integrity. So of course I'm going to add them. I will take them off at
Okay.
some point when you're not looking, but
Yeah.
I've added them for now. So,
Okay.
and the other day I went out running and I thought I'm going to just see what this is like, right? Because I'm like, if it's good enough for the elites, it's good enough for me.
Yeah.
And I listened to a bit of Joseph and his Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Love
And I've
it.
got to say, it's very relaxing.
It's amazing. I was cleaning the house on Saturday and I was listening to who's that show tunes woman on Radio 2?
Elaine Page.
Ah!
She can get in the
Her
bin.
laugh is so annoying. We hate that show. Me and Neil hate that show. We turn it off normally.
Speak to it then.
But it was on, and Six, the song from Six came on.
Right. I don't know what Six is. Is that a musical?
It is, and it's on our playlist because I went to go see it with my sister,
Right.
and I added it. It's very good. But then Joseph and his amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat song from that one came on, and I was like, yes, Hannah Rickman.
Is this a so I put the Joseph mega mix on.
Yeah,
Yeah,
great.
because she didn't ask for that, but I was like, I think I should put it on. So I
It's a
did
good
put it
one.
on. And then I put Wait for It from Hamilton and Touch of Sky because there's two she asked
Yeah.
for. But I think the Joseph mega mix might come out a bit later. I've got an interval session today, so I'm gonna reward myself at the end of it with the Joseph mega mix. I don't know what's happened to me. Reward myself with a
I
musical
love
mega
it.
mix.
I love
Cool.
it. We had some people adding stuff as well this week.
Did we? Great.
Jem J Runs wanted Unstoppable.
Oh yeah, I did that.
No Resolve Hinder.
Yeah, that's gone on. It's quite rocky that.
Yeah. And Marie had put Pendulum Propane Nightmares
That's
on one
already
of
on
her
there.
intervals. That's already on there, I thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. And I
I've
think
added those silly ones that we talked about before.
yeah.
And I don't know what we're talking about.
Did
I'll
you put
just
Taylor
try and
Swift on?
scroll. I haven't put any Tay-Tay on yet. Wouldn't it be good? I
So
ran so far away because I haven't found anything what I think that is good enough.
Stitch M,
Yeah.
who does some beautiful, like, I'm really sorry. Is it cross stitch?
She's one of my clients, but I
I
don't know
don't
what
know
she
much.
does.
I don't know much about stitching, but they look pretty. She makes things out of stitching. She wants Taylor Swift. I Can Do It with a Broken Heart. She's
Okay.
making a pitch that it's an ultra running bop.
Okay, I don't think it is because it's off the new album, and I don't think any of those are ultra pops. Having said that, I did listen to the entire of High Violet by The National on a run the other day because I was so fucking miserable. So, can't really say much about that.
Oh, no. So there we go. That's probably the end of the playlist chat. Yeah.
Some Outkast came on the radio the other day, and that was good. I might put some Outkast on there. I might put My British Accent or.
What was that one?
Accent. You hear that?
No.
Oh.
Only dogs can hear that.
My British accent.
There we
I
go.
am for real. That one. I love that song.
I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
My British accent.
You know, it's, I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. I
Okay.
didn't know what you were talking about when you're like, my British accent. I was like, I don't know what that is.
My friend in music used to get things wrong all the time, and she thought it was called My British Accent. I'm
Right.
for real. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Fine.
Can we put Kanye West on? Has he been cancelled?
Cancelled.
What about Gold
Can
Digger?
we?
Is that not coming up for Gold Digger on?
Cancelled. No.
Oh.
Outcast, didn't they do the one about roses really smelling like
Oh my
poo,
God, I love that
ooh.
song.
Put
Let's
that
put
on.
roses on there. I
I
know you
know
like
I
to
just
pick.
dig your
Oh,
shit
shit don't
down
stink.
stairs. Yeah.
That's the one. People
Perfect.
like that song. And you do like to think your shit don't stink. Great. Well done, everybody. That's great. We love you
Let's
all. Keep them
put,
coming. Thank you.
yes, please do. Send us your stories in on Instagram. We are at Ultrasound System Pod. Story or run, add a little song. We'll put it on the playlist, maybe.
Dream a little dream, add a little song. We might put it on the playlist, but we probably won't. Okay.
Should we put some correspondence in the corner?
Yep, do it. Do it.
It's correspondence in a corner. It's correspondence corner.
Right, our first piece of correspondence comes from our dearly beloved podcast producer, Julius.
Uh-oh. I mean, yay! I just about to say he won't listen to this. He does listen to it quite a lot because he edits it.
Every week, all of it from start to finish, at least once. Julius messaged whilst editing last week's pod and said we were talking about poo and how, of course we were, and how whether it was okay for vegan poo to be left on the land because vegans eat plants. And also how dog poo is bad for the land because there's meat in it.
Meaty dog poo.
Julius would like to put a correction in the correspondence corner. He says it's not the meat in the poo that's the problem. It's the additives, meds, and processed foods. Modern vegans eat even more processed food than ever, so their poo's just as nasty. Humans are gross and ruin the environment. Cat poo does huge environmental harm. Just saying. Now, I'd like to know what the difference between cat poo and the rest of the animal kingdom poo is, because as a pregnant lady, I'm not allowed to empty cat litter trays. Not that I have a cat, but specifically cat poo, I can't go anywhere near. It's something to do with
Why is cat poop so toxic? The
Yeah.
parasite that causes toxoplasmosis can be
That's
found in
it.
the poo of infected cats and in
Toxoplasmosis.
undercooked meat. You can
Yes.
also catch it from soil that's been contaminated by cat poo. There are things you can do if you're pregnant or have a weak immune system to help you avoid toxoplasmosis.
Yeah, like eat cooked, fully cooked steaks. I
It
can't have
says
anything
here,
rare.
because do you want to read this bit out here? I'm going to read this bit to Auntie Anna, how to prevent toxoplasmosis. Kill all the cats. Let God sort it out. Get Pickle to kill all the cats. Pickle. Get Pickle to help the dead cats. So I don't think that's actually what it says. But yeah, it does
No.
say as a pregnant
Yeah.
lady, you should buy a gun and kill all the cats.
Yeah. Or just not go near cat poo. There you go. So thanks, Julius, for that correction. Good. We like being corrected.
No, we don't. He's such a
I
pedant. He's such a pedant. And I wonder what noise he's going to put in when we say his name. I wonder what noise he'll put in that ah, hallelujah noise, won't he?
All
Oh, God.
right. Kirsten's been in touch. She's sent us an email. We are ultrasoundsystempod@gmail.com. And Kirsten would like to know the answer to this. This is a bit of an opinion piece. Maybe we could put a poll out.
Oh, I'd love a poll. I haven't done one for a while, you know.
An opinion poll. Right. Hi, Ali and Anna. I love the pod. We love you too. I have a question with regards to trail etiquette on very narrow paths like the Southwest Coast Path. Well, Kirsten, you've come to the right place. If you hear another runner coming up behind you, should you step aside at the next safe opportunity and let them pass, or should you wait to be asked to let them overtake you? What's been bugging me for ages is that as a middle-aged, slower woman who sounds like a steam train, I've never had to ask anyone to let me pass, but about 90% of men wait for me to say something. Is it just a different way of thinking, and men assume that I want to be behind them because I'm not saying anything? To me, it seems obvious that someone who's caught up with me is moving at a faster pace, and so I'll therefore step aside for them. As I'm getting slower and slower, this won't be an issue anymore. But if you could shed some light on this, that would be fab. Does it happen to you? Am I overthinking this? I realise that a simple excuse me, etc., is enough to force other runners into action, but it's really been winding me up over the years. A massive thank you to everyone who has let me squeeze past them for the last decade or so. Thanks, Kirsten.
I think best way is a little road runner. Meep, meep.
Yes!
Just a little road runner. Just a little road
Yes!
runner. Meep, meep, meep. Meep, meep. And just see what happens. Meep, meep.
Oh, God, I love that.
Do it.
Yeah.
Poll's going to be, what noise should we make when we want to overtake someone on a trail? And I would like people to answer in stories by video themselves making the noise.
What
Meep,
about like the
meep.
Venga
That sort of thing. I think that takes the weight out of it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, I always go, I just stop and I just let this person pass because I'm like, you're quicker than me. I just say to them, you're quicker than me, off you go. And sometimes I get people who are like, no, I'm not. I'm like, no, literally, you are. Go. And I'd much
Yeah.
prefer to be in control of the situation. I hate feeling pressured. I hate it. So at the weekend, I had baby girl on a lead, Pickle. It was so wet and rocky up the fans, and I was really trying not to fall over. And I had Damien and Kirsty with me, and I was in front of them, and I kind of felt like they had me in front of them, so I didn't feel like I was shit, which is
Yeah.
fine. But with a dog, you just can't, can you? So I kept saying, go in front of me, and they were both, oh no. And I think they felt like I was saying, you're better than me, but I'm not saying that. I'm saying for me, I don't like having someone behind me. I feel pressured
No.
and stressed. So I'd rather be in
Yes.
control and just hop to the side.
Yeah.
And sometimes I will do the whole, if it's someone I know in front of me, I will shout runner coming through and then use my hands to push their shoulders apart and barge my way through. Have
Oh
you
my
ever had
God.
that runner coming through where someone shouted at
Right.
you on park run, runner coming through?
Yes. So recently it's been happening more and more often because I'm obviously getting further and further towards the back of the pack as I get bigger and bigger and slower. And that's fine. I don't care. But like I was saying, like I said a couple of weeks ago when I was at Stratford Park Run and like the fast ones come through and it's keep left, overtake on the right. So I'm keeping as far left as possible. And they're literally going, runner coming through and like slicing down my right-hand side to keep to their racing line to literally get back in front of me. And I'm like, if you want to overtake, you're going to have to go round me, I'm afraid, because we're all here. It's not a race. We're all here for the same reason. Runner coming through does do my head in a little bit. I think it's a little bit passive aggressive or just aggressive.
Just
I don't think
aggressive.
it's
Do you know what I
passive,
think
it's
you
just
should do? I'm
aggressive.
gonna make you like a coat, and it's gonna have razor blades all up here around your arm. And I want you, when people do that, to turn so the coat catches their arm, slices their arm,
Slash
and I want you to just be like, motherfucker coming
them.
through, and just have your baby bump out like a bra and just a baby bump. Maybe by that point covered in their blood. And I don't think
Oh
they'll do
my
it
God.
again. I just don't think they'll do it again.
No. I think run it. I think there's just so many nice, excuse me, is fine.
Yeah, or sometimes I say, if I've got people walking in front of me, like walking their dogs, I don't want to boast, guys, but I feel like I'm quite a quiet runner. And I'm like, oh no, what do I do? And you're getting closer and closer, like, oh God, especially if there's a couple of people that are a little bit
Yeah.
older and you're like, I'm going
And
to
they're
frighten
taking up the
them.
whole pavement. Yeah. And you
I'm
don't
going
want
to
to scare
scare them.
them.
And so I sometimes say, I don't want to scare you, but I'm just
Yeah.
behind you. And I try and say it so I've got like 10 meters of shout it so that it's
Same.
not right up to their face and head.
Ears. Yeah.
I don't want to scare you, but I'm right behind you. Don't do
Yeah.
that.
Yeah, no, that's so true. Do you know, actually, do you remember during COVID and the mainstream media decided to pass on that that runners were breathing all over people and spreading
Don't
COVID?
forget how we were spreading it on styles to our hands.
Oh yes, there
Styles
was
and
that as
gates.
well.
We were touching
Stiles and
gates.
gates and breathing on people as we went past. So obviously we had to give people much wider berth anyway, because
Because
you
also, people that are running are
can't.
more likely to have COVID than people that aren't running. You can
Exactly.
tell because they're running.
Yeah.
It's one of the main symptoms was going for a run.
But so you'd have to give them like an extra wide berth, but if you shouted coming through, they'd be like, don't breathe on me.
Careful, or
So
I'll wipe my hands on you, and then you'll be fucked. Or I'll wipe
yeah.
my buff on you.
I think just excuse me is fine. Do you know, you've reminded me of something that I saw on the internet this week that induced some rage.
Goody. I'm just going to bin, put the internet in the bin because it induces rage.
There was a reel, and the idea of the reel was it was really lovely. It was a either partially sighted or blind man completing the London Marathon, and he was going for a world record, I think, for the fastest, like, visually impaired marathon. And he was very, very close to the time, and he was running with a guide runner, but they weren't tethered. So that's why I think he was maybe visually impaired rather than blind. And his guide was very aggressive. So this is on the finishing straight down the Mall. Everybody is there, having run the full London Marathon as well, getting their own finish times, doing their own thing. Maybe some of them were going for a record as well.
Living their own dream.
This guy comes barreling down the Mall, literally yelling, like constantly, runner coming through, world record coming through, get out the way, get out the way. And like shouting at everyone to get out of the way. Now, this visually impaired runner shared the reel of the video that the guide was filming him finish. But obviously, all of the sound was still on of his guide just absolutely like shouting, bellowing at people. And he was sharing it to be like, look at this amazing, incredible moment when I set the world record. And all the comments on it are like, that's great, like, congratulations. But unfortunately, it's really spoiled by the actions and the behavior of your guide. Like, no one should speak to anyone like that. It was
It's
awful. It was
that's
really bad. It was
so
really
bad.
bad.
Has he come back? Has he said anything?
Yeah. He's like, because I went on the guides page to look at him, and he's a bit of a like gym bro
But has
PT.
he said anything? Has he been like,
Yeah.
he
Yeah.
has.
He's not said sorry. He's like, yeah.
Oh.
He was going for a world record. I don't regret my actions.
Well, it's
And
not in the
this.
spirit of the marathon, you big prick.
It's not in the spirit of the marathon. It's not, I
I
don't
just looked
think.
up that song when you were like, move, move. I was like, move, bitch, get
Bitch,
out
get
the
out the
way.
way. Get
Get
out the
out
way,
the way,
bitch.
bitch, get up.
Get
It's like,
out
we can't
the
have
way.
that because it's ludicrous, and ludicrous is a dog abuser.
Dog
So we can't
abuser.
have ludicrous. It's so confusing. It's
Oh,
ludicrous.
it's ludicrous.
I was going to say something then about something that, oh, yeah, you're in COVID, and people are like, you're going to wipe your COVID on the gates.
Yeah.
Once we read this article in the Daily Mail about COVID on gates, COVID on gates, COVID on gates, and we decided to change the word COVID to the word come, and it just made it so much more interesting.
My God, brilliant.
Right, next time, viewer, next time we have a pandemic.
I've just got one last thing just to finish up on. We have got a couple more correspondences in the corner, one of which came through while we were recording, but we'll save
Ooh.
that for next week. Tease. It was just on the topic of London Marathon, because I remember a couple of episodes ago I said I was going to watch the EastEnders episode where they put the marathon in,
Oh,
because
yeah.
two of their characters ran the actual full marathon in character, as it were, and they filmed like bits along the way. It was really brilliantly done. I really did enjoy it. I found it a little bit strange that they were all just casually sat around having breakfast on marathon morning, and there was no like getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and difficulties in public transport getting to Blackheath and all the rest of it. That was not very
No, and
realistic.
also EastEnders is set in the fi in fictional in a fictional town, but that is in Bow, which is very, very
Yeah.
East London. So they would have
Yeah.
had a nightmare. They could have
Would have
just
been
got
a.
DLR, but
I don't think the DLR was on London Marathon weekend.
it's completely unrealistic. Shall we, let's write a letter.
Yeah. But you've not seen it, have you? Because you'll
No,
know what I'm
because
going to
I
say.
just no. I was about to say no because I've got better things to do. But we all know I haven't because I watched Below Deck and Married at First Sight Australia, so I should have
Yeah.
watched it really.
So I was watching it and I was like, this is great. And then Billy Mitchell proposes to the woman. Well,
Not the marathon.
at the marathon. So he tries to propose to her at the start line, drops the ring and loses it. Then he tries to get to the finish line. Then he gets arrested
What, during the marathon? During
at the start area for climbing over the barrier to go and pick up the ring that he's just dropped.
Right.
Then he's in a police car for ages. So then they let him go. I can't remember how he talked his way out of it. They let him go. So he legs it to the finish, misses Honey finishing. And Honey's like, "Where were you?" And he was like, "Oh, it's a long story." Then he goes to get down on one knee to propose, puts his hands in his pocket, and realizes that the other guy that was in the police van with him is a kleptomaniac and has stolen the ring. So he doesn't have the ring to propose. And then later on in the episode, there's like a replay like of the news of the marathon, and there's like video footage of Honey then getting down on one knee proposing to him. And I'm like,
So
guys, can
confused.
we just get rid of proposing at marathons? Don't
Yeah,
make this
but also, this
mainstream.
is completely unrealistic. You
No.
can't meet someone at the end of London Marathon.
<Nice.
It's impossible. It's the impossible dream. You can't
laughs>
do it. It's just not. And also, I did Billy Mitchell, the character, he ran the whole marathon, didn't he, with the
No,
actress that was running the marathon. Did he not run the whole
he
marathon?
didn't. No, he didn't. Billy is going out with Honey, who ran,
And then
and
did
there
a
was
man
another
run with him?
man. Yeah,
Okay,
I
now I
can't remember what his name
understand.
is. Yeah.
Right. Okay. I might try and watch it, but I doubt I will.
No.
Anyway, let's look at EastEnders is so unrealistic. Oh.
Well, apart from the fact that obviously the only thing that they could weave into a storyline about marathoning is that someone had to fucking propose.
Oh, what a load of old shit.
And on that note, I'm going to go and have a lie down in a dark room.
Hey, just a couple of things, bit of
Yeah.
admin.
Yeah.
Ducks in a row. Congratulations to all our Thames Path 100 finishers.
Oh,
Sean,
yeah.
Sean Danny Dyer. 20
Yeah.
hours. Ooh, what a legend. And it was 4 miles.
Bloody hell.
It's 4 miles longer than it should have been for everyone, not just for him. Good man. Now he goes on to the next one. He's doing the Grand Slam. Can we just remind people you can win a pair of Innovate Trail Fly shoes?
They are so beautiful. I am so
Ooh.
jealous, but I can't wait for somebody to get them on their feet.
Yeah, and they're not just a pink one, so you can have any color you want. And the
Yeah.
males and female fit is the same. Go onto the Sound System Pod Instagram, go into our links at the top and enter. Simple as that. This is
Boom.
Mrs. May 2024. If it is another time you listen to this podcast, you're
You
snoozed,
can't
you
win.
lost.
Yeah.
When
Fuck
we
that
have,
dynamic pricing.
yeah, this is a dynamic pricing model. So you can win shoes today, but maybe not next
Not
time. I don't know. We'll
tomorrow.
work out once we get our Patreon up and running. There will be a dynamic price model in play. Anna has got 4 weeks left
Not till the bebé comes.
till she, oh, the baby. It's like a moon. It's like a cheesy moon. And then we will end up in a situation where we have the B team coming in, rolling into town, the circus. Damien Hall is willing and ready to answer your questions. If you have a question for Damien Hall, if you've got a problem, if you want an agony uncle of the year 1998 to answer your problem, just send us an email, ultrasoundsystempod@gmail.com, entitled Dear Damo.
Yes, dear Damo.
He'll be helping with your circumferences. Any circumference is fine.
Yeah.
He can do anything from sexual problems in the bedroom to how to win spy. He's a very multifaceted, talented man. If you want to know about training, proper training, if you want to know about running fast, if you want to know about how to up your game from 4 hour marathon to 3 hour marathon, Holly Stables is your woman. Send us an email entitled Dear Holly. We will put those questions to Holly. We've also got Kirsty Reid and Paul Albon. Next week, I'll be talking to you about what I want you to send them when I've talked to them about what they want us to send them.
Abuse, mostly just abuse.
Mainly abuse. Kirsty does not want you to send book ideas. Absolutely don't send Kirsty
Pitch
ideas for pictures of book.
your book to
And
Kirsty.
send an
That'll be
email
the
that just says book pitch to
Get in
www.pleasedon'tfuckingdothat.com. And
the
Paul Albon, I'll be talking to him about what the best spread is to put his sandwiches on an aid station for every week for 4 months. So that is all I have to say. What are you doing this weekend?
Oh, do you know what? I'm going to go and volunteer at Parkrun on Saturday because I just feel like I need to just get a little bit of like light back in my life. I'm feeling a bit heavy and well, physically heavy, but like life is feeling a bit heavy at the moment and a bit, I don't
Off.
know, a bit much.
Yeah, it's a
So
lot.
I'm going to go and I'm going to go to my favorite woods with my mum and all the dogs on Friday and go and have a
Windover.
nice second favorite woods. Badby Woods near me. It's beautiful. And then, yeah, I'm going to go volunteer at Parkrun and just have a bit of like wholesome niceness. And also, it's Black to the Trails this weekend at Dunstable Downs. So good
Is
luck to
it?
everyone taking part and getting involved down there, because
That was
it looked like
banging last year, wasn't it?
quite party last year. Yeah. I put it in my diary as like, I'd love to go and do it. No, that's not happening this year.
Go and roll around it.
Yeah. What are you doing this weekend?
Well, actually, I'm on Friday. I'm going running with the current fastest known time holder on the South West Coast Pass, Sarah Perry. We'll be going
Wee!
on the Pennine Way again. And then on Saturday, Sunday, I'm at Tunbridge Wells Literary Festival
Ah, say hello to Tunbridge Wells for me. That's where I used to live.
with Michael Palin and Lenny Henry. Not together. But I am there. So if you're in Tunbridge Wells Literary Festival and you want to sign book, then do come and find me. I'm doing like a little funny, weird thing on Sunday. I don't really know what I'm doing, but I'm doing something. But that's
I can
fun.
highly recommend Dunallen Park in Tunbridge
Dunallen
Wells.
Park.
It's beautiful. We've got a little boating lake.
Ooh,
Very
sounds
nice.
nice. I
Nice
will
to
take
spend.
myself, maybe I'll take myself there and with a notebook and muse as I create my
Oh,
second book, except I
yeah.
won't because I hated writing my first one. Cool beans. Great.
Have a good
We love
one.
you.
Yeah. Love you more.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Bailey and Harding Ultrasound System sponsored by Innovate. You know how much we love you. We love you a lot. We'd love you even more if you hopped onto the old socials and dropped us a follow. We're on Instagram and Facebook. Just search Ultrasound System and we'll pop up. Or you can email us at ultrasoundsystempod@gmail.com. Drop us a DM, a VM, whatever you fancy. Let us know your stories, because without you, we would have absolutely nothing to talk about. And if you've got the time, don't forget to leave us a review on whatever platform you get your pods on. It helps with discovery. Ooh, discovery. Okay, that's it. We love you. Till next week. Bye-bye.